And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A Catholic priest voluntarily resigned from an Arizona church after the Vatican ruled that he botched thousands of baptisms by using incorrect phrasing for 25 years. Father Andres Arango left his church at the St. Gregory Catholic Church in Phoenix this month after disclosing that he'd used an incorrect formula that invalidated the baptisms, and he has previously worked in churches in Brazil and San Diego. Rather than saying, "I baptize you," which invokes the power of God, as required by the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, Arango said, "We baptize you," which refers to the community. Using the wrong phrasing invalidated all the baptisms Arango had performed since being ordained in 1995 through into June 2021. And as a result, this could also invalidate ensuing confirmations and Eucharists. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Phoenix said that it was possible that some marriages could be affected, but did not expand on how. He'll now work full-time offering spiritual guidance to Catholics whose baptisms were ruled invalid so that he can baptize them again. The church said the number of invalid baptisms runs into the thousands, but did not clarify to the DailyMail.com exactly how many Arango performed. The Vatican issued a doctoral note in 2020 clarifying that baptisms conferred with the formula "We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit" were invalid. Church leaders at the Roman Catholic Diocese investigated its faith leaders after the note was issued, and last month found that Father Arango incorrectly performed the baptisms. It included baptisms at his previous parishes in Brazil and San Diego. Following the Vatican's note of clarification, other priests working in Catholic dioceses across the United States realized that they'd also been improperly baptized by priests. For instance, shortly after becoming an ordained priest for the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City in 2020, Father Zachary Bozeman reviewed a video of his 1992 baptism and realized the wrong wording had been used. He was reordained following the discovery. The Archbishop of Oklahoma City said, and Arango joined St. Gregory Church in 2017 and previously worked at the other Arizona places of worship, including the St. Anne Roman Catholic Parish in Gilbert and the St. Jerome Catholic Church in Phoenix. He previously worked as a pastor in Brazil and is the former director of the San Diego State University Newman Center. In a letter announcing his resignation, Father Arango apologized to those his mistake has affected and asked the community for prayers, forgiveness, and understanding. He said, "It saddens me to learn that I have performed invalid baptisms throughout my ministry as a priest by regularly using an incorrect formula," Arango said. "I deeply regret my error and how this has affected numerous people in your parish and elsewhere. With the help of the Holy Spirit and in communion with the Diocese of Phoenix, I will dedicate my energy and full-time ministry to help remedy this and heal those affected." Arango remains a priest in good standing, and the situation has not disqualified him from his vocation and ministry, the diocese said. Baptism, considered important in the Catholic community for salvation, is the first of three sacraments of initiation. Those whose baptisms are invalid might have to repeat the second and third sacraments, confirmation and Eucharist, after receiving a second, valid baptism. It's not clear how the situation could impact marriages, but the diocese said that it could. "Maybe," it said in a statement. "Unfortunately, there is no single clear answer. There are a number of variables where it comes to valid marriages, and the tribunal is here to help." The Diocese of Phoenix Bishop Thomas J. Olmsfield said he did not believe Arango sought out to intentionally harm or deceive parishioners. "On behalf of our local church, I too am sincerely sorry for this error, and that has resulted in disruption to the sacramental lives of a number of the faithful," Olmsfield said in a statement. "That is why I pledge to take every step necessary to remedy the situation for everyone impacted." An online petition is calling for Arango to remain at the church. "Catholics are taught that God forgives, all is loving, and shows compassion to everyone," the petition says. "It is important that the Phoenix Diocese emphasizes these virtues and shows its faithful what it truly means to be Catholic." Native Americans have called for the return of three artifacts from a Scottish museum that were taken from Lakota Dead at the Wounded Knee Massacre in 1890. A pair of moccasins, a child's bonnet, and a war necklace made from deer hooves ended up at the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum in Glasgow after being brought across the Atlantic by a Lakota interpreter. George Krager, the interpreter, travelled with Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show, which was in Glasgow the year after Wounded Knee, and he gave curiosities he had collected to the museum. The latest request follows the previous return by the museum in 1999 of a ghost dance shirt worn by a Lakota warrior at Wounded Knee. Around 300 Lakota people, including women and children, were killed by US soldiers in the massacre on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota, amid fears the ghost dance movement could lead to an uprising. The movement had been started by Wadzidob, a Paiute prophet and medicine man who had a vision that white settlers would be swallowed up by an earthquake. Later, another Paiute prophet, Wawaka, can be seen as a messiah after claiming to have a vision during an eclipse, revealing that the buffalo would return, the spirits of ancestors would rise, and that the white invaders would vanish. In addition to performing the ghost dance, a circular communal dance, followers wore sacred shirts they believed could protect them from death, including bullets fired by soldiers. Marcella Larbeau of the Wounded Knee Survivors Association, which represents descendants of victims, had led the campaign for the return of the shirt. She was reportedly negotiating for the return of the three other artifacts before she died in November at the age of 102. David MacDonald, chair of Glasgow Life, the charity overseeing museums in Glasgow, told the Art newspaper the artifacts were not asked for at the time the ghost dance shirt was returned. He told the publication the museum was continuing discussions with Lebeau's family and the Wounded Knee Survivors' descendants groups. If the items were to be sent back to the US, there may be dispute over where they go. Charles New Holy, acting chief of the Wounded Knee Survivors Association, said they should be given back to descendants of victims of the massacre rather than to the tribal government and not displayed in public. There is no requirement for foreign organizations to return Native American artifacts. The ghost dance shirt was returned after it was seen in 1992 by a Native American visitor to Glasgow. It was the first time an artifact had been sent back to a Native American nation by a museum in Europe. Descendants of Wounded Knee victims have also been campaigning for 20 medals of honour given to soldiers involved in the massacre to be revoked. Last week, Kristi Noem, the Republican governor of South Dakota, said she was working towards establishing a true memorial built there that attracts people from around the world to come to Wounded Knee and learn about the terrible things that have happened there. She added, "Wounded Knee was horrific. Our students should absolutely learn about the atrocities that happened there. I'm hopeful at some point the tribe will come to the table and work with me to do that. I think there's something the state could partner with them on." Funeral flowers are damaging the environment, church officials claim, amid calls for a ban on floral foam. The General Synod, the Church of England's legislative body, has been asked to consider a ban on the lightweight porous foam, which provides both water and support to cut flower arrangements, in favour of more environmentally friendly options. The foam, which is not biodegradable, is often used to spell out names of the deceased at funerals, or is cut into elaborate shapes for wedding celebrations. As a result, Christians are being asked to reconsider the use of damaging plastic-related products and instead use objects such as pebbles, sand, moss and flower frogs, an environmentally friendly type of apparatus or technique used to construct floral arrangements to mark occasions. In a written question to the General Synod, the Church of England's governing body, Charles Houston, a lay member of Synod from the Hereford Diocese, suggested that there should be sanctions or repercussions for the use of floral foam and imported flowers in church buildings. He also accused officials of overlooking the widespread use of one of the most damaging plastic-related products in current usage. He asked church authorities to bring in an immediate ban on all floral foam in its buildings, both in weekly flowers, but particularly at weddings and funerals. He added that flowers in church buildings are viewed as an act of thanksgiving and of worship for God's creation, respecting that creation rather than simply as decoration. He said flowers should be sourced locally, with only seasonal flowers and greenery used where possible. The Archdeacon of Sunderland, the Venerable Bob Cooper, replying on behalf of the Chairman of the Church Buildings Council, described the topic as interesting and one that has not yet been considered on a national level because it is up to individual parishes to set up policy. However, he said that there was mounting popularity for churches to source alternatives to floral foam and flowers that are not locally sourced. Alternatives exist, and we do understand that some churches are already using them, he said. For example, pebbles, marbles, sand, moss, wire mesh, or a flower frog. The Archdeacon added, plastic is not the only issue. There is a growing movement for grown, not flown, flowers. Local field-grown flowers will have a far smaller carbon footprint than imported equivalents or those raised in a hothouse. Churches already taking action include St Bartholomew's in Hartley in the Worcester Diocese, which promotes a foam-free church and churchyard flower arrangements. Callstock Parish Council in Cornwall is in the process of banning synthetic ornaments and flowers from cemeteries because it is everyone's responsibility to do what we can in this climate emergency. The call for a ban on floral foam and flowers that are not locally sourced was put forward as part of the church's target of achieving net zero carbon emissions by 2030. Eco Church, the Church of England's movement of churches taking environmental action, is run by its partner organisation, A Russia UK. The proposed ban on floral foam has been forwarded for them to consider. Helena Stevens, head of Eco Church, said, "We are aware of the growing awareness and concerns around the environmental and health impacts of floral foam in particular, and the sourcing of flowers more generally, as indeed there are impacts across many other goods and services that we use in our church communities and day-to-day lives." Ms. Stevens added, "We aim to cover as many issues and topics as we can in our resources available online, and we will look to include something on this in our near future." In January, another proposed change, which involved churches having to navigate less red tape in order to add cushions to pews, was mooted to help the church meet its green targets. At Synod the previous Wednesday, officials approved legislation to help churches meet their carbon reduction targets as changes to the faculty jurisdiction rules, the church's equivalent of planning law, were voted through. It is now easier for vicars and parishioners wanting to add soft furnishings such as cushions, kneelers and carpets to their churches without such planning permission. The plans were approved with an overwhelming majority and will be laid before Parliament and come into effect on July the 1st, 2022. Introducing the legislation, the Dean of Arches, Mareg Ellis QC, said that the changes represented a positive and proportionate part of the Church's response to the climate emergency. And finally, as Pastor Jamie was in the 25th minute of his sermon, he was thrilled to see the yearning and happy look appear on everyone's face at the same time. Then, 2 seconds later, the smell of the potluck lunch reached him too.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.